Hey, this is Stetto, and you're listening to Guildcast 2.0.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 7th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and with me as always is my co-host Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I'm good. I'm excited about the Dragon Festival this week.
Yes, the Dragon Festival. That's the good old 4th of July weekend kind of tradition they have going on
Yes. Each
year. When did they start that? It's been probably 3 years, I guess?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
You put me on the spot, and now I can't count past 2.
Well, I think it was probably when Factions came out, I imagine.
I think it was before that. No, I'm kidding. It was just in the ocean.
that's possible.
It was just a little boat, though. No, it was the year Factions came out.
Xingjie Barge. So how have you been this week?
I have been busy, but I'm glad to be sitting down and actually getting to talk about gaming, and I might even play some games.
Wow.
I know, just get all crazy. What about you?
Pretty much the same. I've been having a lot of gaming time, I guess. Or not a lot, but a little.
A little bit of gaming.
That's same thing. We actually had a lot of Guild Wars news this week, and there was, a few developments here and there, and you know, not anything huge, like no new, you know, class reveal or anything like that.
Maybe.
But well, yeah, not technically, yeah. not officially.
We'll get to that.
But we did get a lot of emails and a lot of comments on our last few episodes, and I'm really excited because it seems like this community is really growing again. You know, back to kind of where we were before. But in addition to that, there are a lot of new players, and I've heard so many times people have emailed, and which we'll read today on the show at the end of the show, all the emails, but a lot of times people write and say, hey, I've never played Guild Wars before. I'm just into it for the first time, and I found your podcast for the first time, and I never got to listen to the old Guildcast, you know, and they really enjoy it. And so I like to hear that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you guys are emailing, and I'm excited to have new people in the Guild Wars community.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's one of the kind of, I guess, most popular questions in that regard is usually, well, I want to play Guild Wars 2. It looks amazing, but I never played Guild Wars 1. I always heard it was instanced, and I always heard that it wasn't really an MMO. Is it too late to get into it, or do I need to get into it, you know, to understand Guild Wars 2? Those are usually the questions. And we've kind of addressed this before, but I think that, you know, A, it's never too late to get into Guild Wars,
absolutely.
Especially like right now they have that Steam sale going on. It's like $26 for the trilogy.
That Steam sale is awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, there you go right there. You know, you spend $26 bucks and you have all three chapters. You don't have Eye of the North though, right? It does not
include Eye of the North, but the trilogy itself is a good starting point. I mean, you have to get to level 10 before you can even go to Eye of the North. So maybe that's something you can get a few weeks down the road, but
yeah. Yeah, I think that it's never too late to really get into Guild Wars, and also, you know, a lot of people ask, do you need to play Guild Wars 1? Well, you don't need to, but it would be cool so that you can kind of get a little bit on the backstory of, you know, why everything is happening and you know, leading up to Guild Wars 2,
well,
kind of understanding
it. And, you know, I really think that those of us that have played Guild Wars 1, and again, it's never too late. I think if you play Guild Wars 1, you're going to get so much more out of Guild Wars 2 because you're going to know these races that you're playing. You're going to be familiar with them. You're going to know, you know, who is this Queen Jenna? Why is she on the throne? What's up with these dragons? And I mean, there's so much there. I just think, if you play Guild Wars 1, and we've got time, my gosh, I think you're going to get more out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, they haven't really announced a launch date yet, but I don't see it happening I don't know. I hate to even speculate on that because they're kind of touchy about launch date rumors.
You know what? It's not going to happen in 2010, okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you've got
definitely.
Months.
Yeah. I was going to say at least a year, but who knows? Hopefully it comes out before then, but, you know, we have no clue. The biggest thing now is like Amazon and GameStop are kind of putting a placeholder saying that it's going to be released, like, what was it?
November of this year.
November? Yeah, November of this year. And I see a lot of times Regina, of course, is the community manager. She tweets on Twitter about how, you know, she answers people and she says, no, we don't have an official release date yet. You know, those things you see on GameStop and Amazon are just there for themselves, mm-hmm. basically. But, you know, it's kind of like she has to explain that to a lot of people because I think a lot of people see that kind of thing and then they get really excited about it. And
I don't know. That's just, you know, we're all anxious for the game. And when you see something like that, it is exciting. But maybe we should have some sort of weekly disclaimer. It is not coming out in November of this year. We'll just start the podcast that way. But, you know, something that she has said, and this makes sense, it's just like the beta invites. There was beta invite spam going around for a little while. And something that someone from ArenaNet said, don't you think that stuff would come from us? If you're going to hear a release date or get a beta invite, it's going to come from ArenaNet. You're not going to just randomly find it in GameStop or get some unsolicited email.
Yeah. And that's something we actually encounter a lot at Massively, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we get rumors all the time, people writing in saying, hey, I heard that so-and-so game, you know, I heard Star Wars is a big one now. So I hear, mm-hmm. I hear that Star Wars is coming out in, I don't know, February of next year or March or whatever. And it's like, well, where do you get this information? It's like, well, you know, someone on the forums figured out hieroglyphics in the sky and, you know, it's like, no, that's
just
not
stop.
How it works. Yes.
I promise you, when there is a beta, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
And it's
not
going to be from a random forum, dude.
No, it's not going to be, yeah. So it's, yeah, just wait for the official stuff, and I know it's going to take a while, and I certainly know we've been waiting for God knows how long, but,
So, I feel like I've been waiting since before Guild Wars came out.
Well, what's funny is, like, by the time it comes out, your kids will be the age you were when you played Guild Wars 1.
But I'm
so you'll be like, I know, that's what I'm saying. and you'll be like, back when I was your age,
we couldn't jump.
We couldn't jump in our Guild Wars. We liked it.
We liked it. My kids already play. We're going to have to buy several Guild Wars 2 accounts.
Oh boy, yeah. I'm actually looking forward to that. I always like that about Guild Wars, since there's no, you know, there's no monthly fee. You can buy multiple accounts and kind of, you know, use one as a mule account and stuff like that. I've always loved that kind of
thing. That's very, very handy. But anyway, yeah, it's not coming out for a little while. And I really do, I mean, I don't get anything like from selling the game, but I really do recommend that you go ahead and jump into Guild Wars 1 if you haven't yet. It's going to just even consider it a backstory because there's an incredible story there.
Yeah.
And it's
really and cool. Even, you know, the fact it's so cheap and everything and you're not, I mean, I think one other big concern a lot of people have is will it still be supported once Guild Wars 2 comes out? And they've said that it will. You know, they certainly will still support it. They haven't said how long. You know, I guess that's up to interest and things like that, you know. But it'll be around for a while. I would probably imagine a couple of years still.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth the money.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into the topics we want to talk about this time. The first one, now we mentioned the Dragon Festival, of course, last week, and we knew it was coming. It happens every year at this time, but it's still exciting. And despite the fact that even like we talked about last time, that a lot of it is the same, they do introduce new things. So Ruby went ahead and wrote this guide over at Massively, and it's coincidentally enough, it's called A Guide to the Dragon Festival.
You know, I got a little crazy with the title, but I think sometimes being a bit of a maverick is okay.
Yeah, I know.
I hope people understand what I was trying to say there.
I think they will. It's part of your weekly column, Flameseeker Chronicles, and the thing is it's a big guide. You know, it's kind of, it's broken down to let you know exactly what you can expect out of the Dragon Festival, the new things that are, you know, in, especially like the masks and everything. But I think what's even more important is it's getting linked a lot. You know, a lot of people are seeing it and linking to that exact guide and saying, hey, this is a great guide for anyone who isn't aware already. Because I think a lot of times now, people take for granted the fact that this is the same one, and they take for granted the fact that people are coming into the game still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can sit there and say, oh, this is the same one as last year, but if someone wasn't there last year, they're not going to know
what you're talking about. They have no clue what's going on. Well, and the other thing, and I don't want to be negative about it, but the Guild Wars official website is a little bit hard to navigate sometimes. And unless it's on the front page, it's kind of hard to just go there and say, okay, here's, you know, I need the central, like the calendar for the Dragon Festival, and I need to know when everything's happening. And unless it's on the front page, it's a little hard to find, so I kind of stuck that in there too as a help.
Yeah. Cool, that should definitely help.
But if you're a new character and have not been to Xingjie, this is the thing that I actually got a lot of comments on. Several people have caught me in game, especially last night, and said that they really appreciated that. If you don't have Xingjie Island on your map already, you're kind of standing around in Lion's Arch or Commandant going, so what, I just don't get to go? And there is a way you can get to Xingjie, so I put a little step-by-step guide in there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's something you don't really think about, you know, how to get to Xingjie.
Well, it's a weird backwards trek, and It can be confusing if you're new or if you haven't been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember doing that myself when Factions came out, and you would, you know, try to get the Prophecies characters over there, and especially for the events. I mean, that's, you know, that's the only reason you would go to Kantha, right?
Well.
Oh, I kid. See, now I'm going to get hate mail about that, too.
I love Master Togo.
Okay, so the next little bit of news here is a little bit of Guild Wars 1 news, which kind of follows with the Dragon Fest thing, but this is about the White Mantle and the progressions this week that have happened. Actually, it was just reported yesterday. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we actually talked about this last week, it was just like Monday, I think, that Historian Murrow has disappeared, and it was a little bit odd because he started, he's on the official Guild Wars site, and April 8th was his first entry, and he's like our in-character roving reporter on the front lines of the war in Kryta. And he was, since the beginning of April, he was reporting very regularly. And June 2nd was his last entry, and then all of a sudden he stopped reporting. Nothing had come, and we were saying, you know, I'm sure that ArenaNet didn't just kind of randomly forget that this was going on. And my guess was that something had happened to him, and there was an in-character, in-game reason that this guy was gone. And sure enough, he came back June 29th, and the headline was, Scribe Returns from Involuntary Overseas Journey. And the White Mantle I'm loving the image here. I'm going to have to link to this. The image here is of him standing on the shore in front of a boat, and he's cheering. He's like happy to be home. But the White Mantle kidnapped him and did not like. They expressed their opinion that my chronicles of the Kryton War were nothing more than rebellious propaganda. And he said the Inquisitors wanted to hang him from a nearby tree. So they exiled him and placed him on a spice ship bound for Kantha. So he got to Kantha and he said, I promptly boarded the next ship bound for Kryta. So apparently it stunk, but he's home now.
Well, see, he left too early because the Dragon Festival starts.
He should have hung out.
I know.
Wouldn't that be great if he was running around Xingjie spamming for a ride back to Lion's Arch?
Actually, that would have been pretty cool.
I need a ferry to L.A.
L.F. ferry. Yeah, that would be awesome.
But yeah, he's back. And actually, he dove right back into reporting. And they've been hinting at something bigger coming. So I'm anxious to see. We had a couple of characters in-game that were saying, you know, there's something going on and the White Mantle are gathering. And Historian Murrow says now that the White Mantle is assembling their forces for a massive confrontation with the Shining Blade. So I am extremely excited to see what comes in the next week or so.
Yeah, it could be a giant in-game event. And, you know, I think a lot of times it seems like they're touching on certain things that they're going to have in Guild Wars 2, like they did that pretty much in all of Eye of the North, but wouldn't it be cool if this was going to be maybe a taste of like world PvP or something like that, or some kind of big, well, maybe not that, maybe like the kind of open events that they have? I mean, something like that. I don't know if they have the mechanics in place to do that just yet, but
I would really love to see that. I don't think the mechanics are in place to, you know, suddenly, like, turn Krita into a persistent world. But, you know, I wonder if we could do, if something big could happen in L.A.
Yeah, yeah. That would be really cool. Yeah.
So, but, what I'm curious about, Princess Selma has said we've taken out 3 Inquisitors in these quests that we've been having, and she commented that there are 4 left. So that kind of serves to tell me that we've got 4 more of those kind of little quests/missions coming up, but at the same time, there's something big going on in a different part of Krita, where Saul D'Alessio had his camp. So I'm wondering if we're going to continue with this little storyline of taking out the Inquisitors one by one over here, and then at the same time have something big going on over here in another part of Krita. Or if somehow the two are going to come together. I think it'd be interesting to take out all 4 Inquisitors at once.
Yeah. Huh.
So, but there's really good hints coming out. I mean, this is the 3rd character that we've seen hinting that something really big is on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, that's something definitely to keep our eye on. I imagine this is probably going to keep going on until Guild Wars 2 launches, maybe, you know, beyond that.
Well, it's Guild Wars Beyond, so, and I think it's supposed to be serving as a bridge between the two, so I'd like to see this string out for quite a while.
Cool. All right, well, let's touch on kind of a big topic of the week for Guild Wars 2, and that's the activities. Now, this is something the little subheader is games within the game. Mm-hmm. They're not really calling them mini games because I think maybe when you think of mini games, you think of, you know, like Free Realms mini games or other things like that where they kind of take you away from the game to give you, you know, its own little game within.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're calling these activities because they're actually still in the game. And they're not so mini, I guess you could say. they seem to be pretty massive actually. Some of the things that I noticed in this little, it's a blog entry on the official ArenaNet blog, and the way they describe activities, now we've heard a little bit about these before. You know, when we first heard about a little bit about how the mechanics are going to work several months ago, they talked about the fact that you can get in a bar fight and you can grab the, you know, leg of a stool and hit somebody over the head with it, and I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Yeah. Well, they actually kind of go into that a little bit more and describe how that works. Now, the bar brawl itself is a main part of this blog entry, and he talks about how that will work just because there's been so much interest about it in the forums. You know, whenever anybody talks about this, they're always like, oh yeah, the bar brawl, doesn't that sound cool? And so he figured he would, this is by John Stoom, and he figured that he would kind of, you know, give more details on that. So with the bar brawls, what you do, from what he describes, is there are different ales that you can buy that have different effects on you, whether they be buffs or debuffs or whatever. And one of them that he mentions is specifically is called Grenth's Ale. And he says it allows you to belch a noxious gas cloud that harms anyone around you. Yeah, that's pretty disgusting. But what's also interesting is the fact that the drunker you get, more chance you have of doing a critical hit on someone. So
my son is going to love this so much.
Yeah, it reminds me of the what's that called? The drunken dwarven boxing
and drunken master.
Yeah, and drunken master too. Yeah. It reminds me of that. It reminds me of the that one quest in Alona. Oh, what's that called? The solo one that everyone asks for a group.
Orchard.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, you have it reminds to me of that too. End of the table.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. So I think that, you know, people have had a lot of fun with that. So I think that's pretty cool that they're kind of expanding on that. But he also gets into more details about that actual fighting that I was mentioning. You know, even with bottles, he says you can throw a bottle at someone and knock them out or stun them. Mm-hmm. You can grab the bottle and hit them with it. The bottle has a chance to break, which will turn it into a shiv, is literally what he said. So it seems like the weapon can kind of change depending on what happens to it. Like, you know, there's a chance it'll break, but it won't necessarily break. So if it doesn't break, you're hitting someone with a bottle, which would be like, I guess, blunt damage. But if you can turn it into, break it, you can turn it into a shard and you can actually have kind of piercing damage. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's interesting. Will it actually work like that? It seems like that's what they're saying.
It is, and it fits in really nicely with the entire dynamic feel that they're going for in this game. Things change. You affect them, and that affects your gameplay.
I think it's just interesting that there are so many choices like that. You know, we mentioned about the stool leg, but they also say that you can take like a plank from a table. You literally can throw someone into a table, break the table, and take a plank or leg from the table and hit them over the head with it. They do point out the fact that you can't bring outside weapons into the bar. So I actually like that because it's more like, you have to work with what you have there.
Right.
You can't just bring in, your Uber sword of Uberness and then start cutting everyone's head off. You actually have to use what you have there. So people are going to be punching each other and kicking each other and breaking tables and breaking bottles so that they can fight with those. And that's fun.
I want to be the piano player in the corner that gets shot halfway through. I want to be that person. No, but it really, I know that's exactly what you're saying, is that it just, this whole thing about affecting your environment, they're just really playing with that and having so much fun with it. Mm-hmm. And I think if the devs have fun, it comes through and we enjoy it more.
Yeah, yeah. Another interesting thing he touched on was the fact that there's no teamwork. He says it's kind of all for one and one for all. I think that's interesting because then does that mean it's like an open PvP little world there?
It sounds like it. I wonder if you can call your buddy in to run in and help you out.
Well, he does mention like, if you see two people fighting, you can trip one of them or something. So you can get involved, but it's not, you're not like on a team with someone so that you get, you have like a set group of friends.
Right.
It's pretty much anyone can help or hurt each other. Which, that's exciting. That's something we've been waiting for a long time in an MMO.
Yeah, you can even jump in and just start punching both of them if you want. And it's there's not a set team. You're not locked into one or the other.
Yeah. That's so cool.
You just dive into the fray.
I think, okay, this is how I'm going to play Guild Wars 2. I'm going to take my Mesmer into the nearest pub, and I'm just going to sit there and drink and drink and drink. And then I'll start fights with people. I'll start getting all depressed, talking about a lost love. And that's how I'm going to play.
And then you're going to go home and play Guild Wars.
Oh. Nice.
No, I think you walked into that.
I know, I did. I'm ashamed I didn't think of that first.
But yeah, I just think the potential there is incredible. Mm-hmm. I like that so much. Now I'll tell you the thing that I like about this entire activity concept, and I'm gesturing again like you can see me because I'm really into this. The thing I like about this entire concept of activities on the side is that it's staying true to what Guild Wars started out as, and that's a game where you don't have to sit down and invest 6 hours a night raiding or whatever. You've got this whole big, deep, overarching storyline. But if you just want to sit down, play for 20 minutes in between other stuff that you've got going on, these activities allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, it really gets back to the foundation, to one of the things that's good about Guild Wars. But as usual, it takes it one step further and makes it even better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And they even mention the fact that these activities will be in the capital cities for each race. So there's five races, so five capital cities. And that, I don't know if that means that there's going to be some outside of that. I think that's what they're saying, is it's just going to be in the capital cities. Which still is fine, especially if they have the kind of quick map travel that we know and love in Guild Wars 1. Mm-hmm. So that's been said, that's definite. Also, they do mention they mention a few other little mini game or activities, and one of them is a shooting range, which sounds pretty cool. I mean, it's like, they're talking about how it's not just shooting and see who's the fastest to, hit the target. There's also different types of prizes, like they talk about one like a spread shot and, fastest draw, things like that. So, again, it's not just a shooting range. It's not just a bar brawl. It's all these other things that you could think what would be cool about about participating in these, and they're mixed in. You know, mm-hmm. he actually makes a good point at the beginning of this blog entry where he says, we do more than just go to work or school in real life. You know, we don't just do one thing every day. We have other options that we do when we come home. You know, it's kind of like The Sims. You know, when The Sims first came out, it was pretty much, you know, you had to socialize and go and get a job, and then you had to, you know, go to the bathroom and wash yourself. And you had to do all this in the span of an insanely short amount of time. So then they started making expansions where it was like, you know, you can go out and you can do, you know, they have like for Sims 3, they have a free time, I think it's called, or leisure time or something mm-hmm. like that, where it's, you have other things that you can do, outside of this kind of allotted, responsibilities,
right.
You know, where you're, I mean, people aren't just questing all the time, you know, it's, there's other things you want to do to kind of balance that out. And, I think that's why they're doing this. Theoretically, we should be doing these things in real life, but
this is our thing that we do in real life. We're relaxing by playing Guild Wars, and it's a precious little joy. And he says, if you let go of the precious little joys in life, you let the dragons win. And we can't let the dragons win, so we have to play Guild Wars. I would love to just go hang out at the carnival in the town square and do a few fun little things.
Yeah, and you know, in a political scope here. When things are bad, that's usually when the opposite is kind of heightened. You know, when mm-hmm. when there's a war going on, if resources allow, we tend to go kind of the opposite and have enough resources to enough events to keep us kind of preoccupied with that and not think about the war. You think of the 60s, you know, when it was Vietnam and we had the opposite with music and, mm-hmm. and movies were really heightening at that time. World War II kind of happened after World War II, but we had, you know, a giant boom in cars and cinema and everything. So I think that's kind of how this is working. You know, we have this war going on, these dragons that are threatening to come out of the ground, you know, and ruin everything. And people are like, well, let's party. You know, let's forget all that.
Drown in the horrible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's kind of like that now. We have the economy. It's so bad. But at the same time, games are becoming so popular. You know, mm-hmm. the popularity of games is just skyrocketing because people want to go home and like, you know, kill dragons instead of worry about, paying their credit card bill.
Well, I told you not to talk about that. No. But within reason, an escape is good. You need that escape valve so you don't just completely despair.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to see that carrying over into this game. I mean, it's another facet of reality in the game.
Yeah.
Now the devs are probably going, you know, we just wanted to make some activities.
Yeah. Like, what are they talking about?
Thinking about this way too hard.
Well, let's talk about the book that was announced. Well, it wasn't really announced because, you know, they announced a long time ago, but the ship date has been announced, of July 27th for Ghosts
yes.
of Ascalon.
I'm so excited.
I'm very excited about this. Well, what's cool too is they put a little excerpt of the book, and it's a nice size one. Like, I was expecting two or three paragraphs, and it's probably a few pages of the book, I would imagine. And I read through it, and it's, I expect nothing less from Jeff Grubb, but, he also wrote it with Matt Forbeck, but, you know, they wrote this book together, and it's really well written, and it's really something that, I shouldn't say even if it wasn't well written, I would still read it because that's probably a lie. But if it's, just because of the fact that it's tying Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2 together, I was interested in it in the first place. So it's nice to know that it'll actually be a nice read. And, on July 27th, we are going to, we're going to attack that. I mean, we're going to get that book and start reading it. I fall asleep after one page. So Ruby, I'm going to leave it all up to Ruby to actually read the book.
I'm going to be tearing through this pretty quickly.
I'm excited, though.
I am looking forward to it. I have to admit that the writing style is not what I really prefer. But the story, there's enough of a story there to keep me interested. I want to know what happens. I actually talked about this quite a while back in the Flameseeker Chronicles, because what I'm very interested in seeing is they're traveling back to Old Ascalon. Are we going to get our, are we going to get visuals? Are we going to get, what does it look like? Tell me, you know, tell me what they're, where they are. Tell me what it looks like, how it's changed in 250 years.
Yeah.
So I'm, that's what I'm hoping to see the most. And I will have my hands on this book the second I can.
Well, this is something they announced at PAX. Man, I can't remember. Was it 07 or 08? It was a couple years ago.
I don't know. I didn't get to go.
Well, it was one I went to, so I think it was 07. Wow, that was a long time. Maybe it was 08.
Did you go
but
to
anyway,
2, didn't you?
Yeah. I think I went to 06 and 07. I can't even remember. That's horrible. but they announced it back then, and you know, ever since then, we were excited about it. And ever since then, we've been waiting for this. And actually, there was rumor last year that this was supposed to come out in February of this year, which, of course, it did not. But
it did.
There's supposed to be, there's supposed to be a trilogy, though, right?
That's, I mean, the first three. I wonder if we'll see them coming out quickly now.
I hope so, because they're supposed to fill that gap before Guild Wars 2 even launches. And I'd hate for it to be like, well, we're going to do one book a year.
I will.
Like, wait.
No, no, no.
No, I don't.
Okay, but the cool part about this, there were two words in this game, in this book, whatever this thing is, there were two words that we were all very, very excited about, and those words were Silvari Necromancer.
Yes. Yes.
Necro!
Yes.
Yay!
I actually, we got an email from someone who was like, hey, Sean, did you see that? Like, that's essentially a confirmation that the Necro is going to be in the game. Well, I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, I guess there's probably a 95% chance, but, you know, until I see it in, you know, like officially announced format as the Necro is here, I'm gonna,
yeah, we
not
can't
get
say
too excited.
Good.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna venture into speculation land here. Somebody in the forum said, you know, this could easily, part of this story could be how the Necromancer class is no more. And why it went away. And, you know, the chapter did end with Killeen falling into a hole. But I don't think she was, like, the only necromancer ever. But the other half of that was that this takes place a year before Guild Wars 2 begins. And that's...
Only a year?
I believe so.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And that would have to... For an entire class of necromancers... For the entire class to die out would have to be something really significant in the space of a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to, okay, we have nothing from ArenaNet. Nobody from ArenaNet has confirmed this.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
I'm going to change my guess. I had a pretty good feeling about Rangers. I'm voting for Necro as the next class reveal.
Is that just based on this?
That's just based on this. And, you know, I'm just having some fun. So I'm going to say Necro. Also, it would make me happy because my, can we call her an alt main? My alt main in Guild Wars is a Necro. She's my second favorite.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think, I don't know if they would announce that next. I guess that would make sense, though, because they do like to kind of tease that, like they did that with the Warrior.
Well, and they know we're not going to shut up until they do.
At least we won't, you and I. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. That would actually be pretty cool. Now, I didn't know. Actually, when I was reading this, I was thinking, yeah, this is the first one in the trilogy. You know, it's supposed to bridge that gap between 1 and 2, so maybe this happened, like, not too long after Guild Wars 1. But I didn't know it was only a year before Guild Wars 2, because that does change everything. That does make me think that there's a lot better chance that the Necro will be in.
Mm-hmm. And I did not realize that. I actually, again, have to give a shout out to the Guild Wars 2 Guru forums, because that is where I saw that. They are awesome over there.
That's where the hardcore Guild Wars fan goes. I mean, seriously, you know, if you, we get a lot of email, which I encourage, correcting us, you know, on things that we've said kind of, I don't know, you know, we're not really focusing on it, but maybe I'll mention something and then someone will say, hey, Sean, you mentioned this, that's actually not true at all. And then, you know, of course,
well, and they're very nice about it. I actually completely blew it on the last podcast because I said that New Crichton hadn't been translated and we didn't know what the sign said. And
that's exactly what I was thinking about, actually. I wanted to mention that, yeah, because someone gave us a link where actually it's all been translated already.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that, especially because you were nice about it. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I missed that. I felt bad.
Well, let's go ahead and read some of the email, because we had quite a few this time.
Yeah, I dig our emails. Thank you, guys.
And as you heard, actually, at the beginning of this, I should have mentioned this before, but as you heard, we had the intro, the audio intro by Stetto. And now Stetto's been with us for many, many years. You know, he was a original Guildcast listener, submitted many intros, emails, a lot of things like that. And so it's good to hear from him again and know that, you know, he's listening to the new one. But okay, so this first email, this is from another person. This is actually what reminded me of it. This is from another person who's been with the show for a long, long time. And this is Toodles the Clown.
No way!
Yeah, you remember him?
Yes, I do. Hey, you know what? He whispered me in Guild Wars last year and was like, hey, you probably don't remember me, but yeah, I do.
That's so cool. He starts it out. He says, hey there, Sean and Ruby. First off, and this is in all caps, yeah, Guildcast is back.
Yay.
I literally jumped for joy when I saw the announcement. I know I'm a little late on this since you're already in episode 6 at the time I'm writing this email, but I wanted to make sure I had something of some sort of quality to send in. So here goes. I'm blanking on this if it has been asked already, so bear with me if it has. Have you two put any thought into a Guildcast guild for Guild Wars 2? I mean, thinking way into the future here, but I think it'd be awesome to get together with old and new listeners and experience the game. Just planting the seed on that one. Also, any ideas on how the transition from Guild Wars to Guild Wars 2 is going to be like for players of the original? We have the Hall of Monuments, of course, but do you think it'll get any deeper than that? I'm a little rusty on the news front, so I'm not sure if it's already been discussed anywhere. Thanks for throwing the old Res Sig on the show. My life is now complete again. Toodles a clown.
Yay!
We have not given... Well, okay, we've given thought to a Guild Wars guild in Guild Wars 2, but I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, personally, I think what happens with a lot of these things, you know, with Guild Wars 1, or with Guildcast 1, I guess you could say, I did a guild, I did a forum, I did, you know, the fan site itself, I did the podcast, and it was really a lot that really kind of burnt me out on it, I guess, pretty easily, and I don't want to get to that point again. And I recognize that now, and I recognize that I can do this stuff. I can moderate forums and do the podcast and be a guild leader, but it's much better for those things separately to be done by people who can dedicate themselves to that. You know, with the guild especially, anyone who has ever run a guild before knows how much work it is. It is so much work. You're managing so much as far as, you know, you can't just make a guild and say, okay, run yourself. You know, there's always problems. There's conflicts between people. There's, people want activities. They want to be entertained. They want groups to get together. You know, they're in a guild because they want to, play with other people. And that's not going to happen on its own. It's something that you as the leader has to kind of, kick off, you know, and say, hey, why don't we do something this Friday? Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do this. That's what the good guild leaders do. I could not do that because I never knew when I'd be able to do stuff like that. And it's still pretty much the case now. You know, I'm just not really a good guild leader, and I recognize that. So I'm not going to be starting a guild. Are you going to be starting a guild?
Ruby's not here right now.
Crickets.
No, honestly, you are correct. It's an ongoing project, and it's ongoing work. I actually, and Sean and I had talked about this just between the two of us about a month ago. I'm kind of settled into a pretty active alliance and was promoted to the guild leader of my guild. Just like a month ago, I lasted 2 weeks and said, I don't have the kind of time to devote to this that it needs. And I mean, yeah. I couldn't even put the time into being a guild leader of an established 5-year-old guild that was already pretty well underway, let alone trying to do that in a new guild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of work. I originally, like when I, you know, we mentioned this last time, we had two, dedicated Guild Wars or Guildcast listeners united guilds, and then we had the Alliance itself, which was also made up of Guildcast listeners. It was a lot of management, and I always thought that it would be great to have someone take that over, someone just take charge and be like, you know, I love the show and I want to do what I can. So if anyone ever wanted to do that, that would be great. You know, I would give it my blessing. You know, that's because it could be a lot of fun, especially when you get, you know, the Guildcast listeners community was always so great. And we mentioned that before, but it was, you know, people made friendships and marriages and, you know, all these things have grown from just the friendships that were in the actual guild itself. So, of course, I want that to continue, but I just can't be the one to lead that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we want to play with you guys. Listen to me speaking for you. But no, I mean, we really do love the Guildcast community, yeah, and we want to play with you guys, but neither of us can really head that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I it's funny. I'm actually like that in a lot of other games, too. We'll do a lot of kind of in-game events for Massively, mm-hmm, and I'll get in there, and I'll be like, okay, whose group can I join? And they're like, no, Sean, you have to lead us. And I'm, no, I can't. I'm not a leader.
I just want to play with you, okay?
I want to be the follower. I just want to I lead all day at work. I just want to follow right now. And it's, that's kind of the way I am in games. You know, it's just my kind of gaming personality, I guess. Yeah. But, I guess, and for the second question, you're talking about that link between Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2. Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they say that Hall of Monuments as first announced is not actually going to happen like that?
No, it is not. It's going to serve as our link of sorts,
yeah,
but not, I don't think like we were thinking, and they're not really telling what it is going to be. We just know what it's not going to be.
Yeah, they're saying, you know, originally they were saying it was going to be this thing where you can, you know, level up your weapons and fill up your Hall of Monuments, and that stuff will all appear in Guild Wars 2 as kind of like, relics or, you know, family heirlooms. Well, now they're kind of like, hold off on that thought because we're not really sure if that's, you know, going to happen.
You know, so. I assume that they're coming up with something better, but I'm a little bummed about that. I mean, I'd love to visit Ari's Ancestors Hall and look around at all the cool stuff.
Yeah, it was always a good idea because it would make people still play Guild Wars 1, especially if it's a continual thing where you can still upgrade your Hall of Monuments in 1, mm-hmm, and those things would show up retroactively in Guild Wars 2. It's kind of like the picture in Back to the Future. You know, when my references are awesome, aren't they?
I love your references. I really do. We're totally dating ourselves, though, because I knew exactly what you talked about. What you meant. I think I speculated once that it would be cool if you could have those old weapons in your Hall of Monuments and use them as crafting materials for some sort of uber weapon.
Yeah.
Well, your uber sort of uberness that you mentioned earlier. Not sure how that would work though, but
yeah. So yeah, we don't know for sure, but it's one of those things where they've kind of backed off on the original statement, and they're saying, you know, we'll announce exactly our plans with that later.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that is as progression on the game comes, well, progresses. I think that creative team is probably there's a lot of, you know, hey, what about this? And they come up with something good that nobody had thought of 6 months ago, and they run with that. And yeah, Sometimes things go in a different direction for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's move on to this other email, the second email we have. This is from Free Spirit. It says, hi, Ruby and Sean. Hey, wait, why are you mentioned first?
Because I'm prettier.
Oh, that's true. Great show again this week. I love the way you both laugh. Wow, that's cool. Just a couple of thoughts that I would like to share. Number one, we already have a sort of paladin class in Guild Wars, the Dervish, i.e. a melee character with the equivalent of heavy armor, whilst in avatar of Belthazar form, and healing capabilities. Few play it as a healer, unsurprisingly, but I just thought I would throw that into the mix. I don't expect Dervs to be present in Guild Wars 2 at its birth, but you never know. The graphic showing an armored character with a mace, though, is certainly an indication of a holy class, as maces historically were carried by the clergy in battle, as they were not allowed to spill blood, so they didn't use swords or axes. Beating someone's brains to mush with a mace was allowed, however. Number two, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Guild Wars 2 will be a totally different animal to the current game. Professions will play very differently in a persistent world that we must assume will be far less structured than in the instance world we were so used to. Mm-hmm. Trying to equate professions and gameplay between the two games is somewhat missing a point, or else reading that would have just expanded Guild Wars further rather than creating a new and very different world for us to play in. Of course, some familiarity is comforting to Guild Wars players, and I love to speculate as much as anyone, but I keep this new unknown world order in mind and will embrace change. As a side note, as far as patches updates are concerned, in the heavily instanced world of Guild Wars, new builds can be implemented on the fly. In a heavily persistent world, though, I think it will be difficult to apply that same system, and we wait with bated breath to see how updates are handled. Hopefully, instance areas will be updated to a different time to the persistent world, allowing us to play something like advancing personal storylines if some degree of downtime is necessary. Keep up the good work, Jack. P.S. I was looking through the journals of my ancestor, a ranger called Hardy.
Oh.
In there, he recounts the tale of when, badly injured, crippled, and poisoned in some far corner of the Crystal Desert, his black Moa companion carried him across the desert into Hero's audience, where he was tended to by the ghosts. Makes me think that a giant black Moa mount would be awesome.
There's no denying that. I kind of love that story.
Yeah.
But, you know, he makes a very good point. Everything that we're trying to equate here, these are all speculations based on a world that we don't know yet, and we don't understand yet, and that I firmly believe is going to blow our minds. So, you know, we do the best we can, though, and I have an LA. I'm happy. I'm all good.
I think he does make good points, though, about the Dervish, or about the Paladin class. And I guess the Dervish, it could be considered, like he said, you know, you could be healing slash melee character. I mean, you can do that with even like warrior monks, you know, with the secondary classes. So there, actually, you know, the fact that you could mix any secondary classes made it so that anything could be a healing anything, you know.
Man, you made me want to play a dervish. How did that happen?
That was not my intent at all.
No, he did. I just, I'm like, I wonder if I could play a dervish as pure healer.
You could. Well, yeah, you could. That's what I'm saying. That's the beauty of the dual class system. Yeah. But if they're getting rid of that, they're going to have to be more specific. You know, they're going to have to kind of incorporate more into these classes. And even with the skill system that they're implementing with weapons and everything, item skills, I think that's possible. That's kind of the workaround to it, I think.
So, I agree.
I'm excited to see.
I know.
All right.
So what else
we have a lot. Okay. This next one is, this one's long. Okay. Hey, Sean and Ruby. I don't have much to say about anything other than, oh my God, Guild Wars Freaking 2.
I love this guy.
I started listening toward the end of Guildcast 1.0, and I listened to all the back catalog. I only hope Guildcast 1.1 can match that standard. I only discovered it today, though, so I've listened to them all, but I don't know when you were talking about what and exactly what you said. But I remember a lot of talk about translating New Crichton. Oh, this is the one. He says it's capitalized, so we know it's not a race. And then he says, I found this, and it's a thing on Guild Wars 2 wiki, wiki.guildwars2.com. And he says, people have it translated already, and it's right there on the wiki. It's not like tucked away in forums or anything. And that's what we're talking about. Like, they've already done this.
Yeah, this guy was like my hero of the week.
And he says, and that pub selling, the following, I couldn't find them all on one page. And, that's the translation from that pub board that we found.
Yeah, it was happy hour.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
I loved it.
He says, sorry, I don't know if you already said that on the podcast or anything. No, we didn't. If you didn't, there you go. Personally, I think they're dropping monks. Everyone has self-heals. Mm-hmm. Rangers, because warriors have bows and guns. Paragons, because they were crappy anyway. He says, you said it, not me.
Aww.
And either assassins, with skill chains for everyone, or dervishes, because I don't see them in Guild Wars 2 for some reason. And they're replacing them with brand new professions. And my guess for the next profession info would be necromancer.
Oh, hey, check it out.
Does it count that you said that first? I think somebody else said it first on the comments. Says, I think my first character will be a human Ellie. Ellie, I know, boring, he says.
Hey. Oh. Oh, wait a minute.
I thought you said that you liked this guy.
I did a minute ago.
He says, anyways, he actually spells it out with about 10 A's.
Because he knew I was going to freak out when I heard that.
Yeah. I'm so excited for Guild Wars 2 and Guildcast 1.1. I nearly cried at the last episode of 1.0. Aw. Oh, and tonight, over 5 years late, I finally finished Prophecies. Lots of love, Mooney the God.
Hey, congratulations on finishing Prophecies.
Yeah.
Never too late. We said that.
P.S. A shout-out of my name on air would be nice, as I'm lonely and currently guildless.
Well, since we've talked about you like 4 times in this podcast.
PPS, I managed to write quite a lot of boring, useless crap considering I have nothing to say. Well, you got me on that one because I just read more of it right there.
It wasn't boring, useless crap. I already said, that was like my favorite email.
Yeah, so it was a good email. Yeah, that was a good email because that's the first time we heard about that new Crichton translation. So definitely awesome, and it's exciting that people are translating this stuff already.
I know. I am so thrilled. And I totally dropped the ball on that, so thank you one more time for catching me up.
Yep. All right, so this next email is from Fuzzmaster. And Fuzzmaster is another person who we have talked to back from the old days. And actually, he and I played LOTRO together for a little while, too. Mm-hmm. And it's funny I mentioned that because that's kind of the point of his email. He says, Sean Ruby, don't worry so much about mentioning other games on the podcast. Remember, Guild Wars 2 isn't even out yet, so we have to compare it to games that are out now. Mm-hmm. For the time being, that's all we know. Sure, the majority of the comparisons are going to be Guild Wars 1, but don't make such a big deal about discussing other games. It's really not a problem.
It was just a running joke.
Yeah, and then he says, what is a problem is continually saying, I know we shouldn't mention other games, but hearing that over and over again really bogs down the show. Keep up the good work, Fuzzmaster. You're totally right, I think. And yeah, it's just kind of one of those ongoing jokes that Ruby and I tend to drag jokes out a little bit too
long.
We
really do. It's part of our charm, right?
Yes.
Can we play it that way?
That's what they call it, yes. So, yeah, I think so mentioning other games, we apologize for it just because it's kind of funny. To us, maybe?
I was amused.
but yeah, I like the fact that, you know, in Guild Wars, or Guildcast 1, it was kind of like, this is my game, this is all I play, I love Guild Wars so much, and, you know, and I obsessed about it. And now I can compare it to so many other games, and there are a lot more games out now, too. But it is kind of cool to be able to compare it to other games, at least to give people an idea, exactly like he says, you know, we have these other games out there now, so it helps us kind of associate what we can expect.
Yeah, and it does. It actually does trigger a lot of things. I know when I was reading about the activities, one of the things, did you see where they said, like, everybody likes breaking stuff?
Yeah.
And I got so happy because in DDO, that's one of my favorite things, is to smash crates and barrels. And there's actually an entire quest where your job is to smash 50 things in 10 minutes, and it's one of my favorites. So, but yeah, we do. We love some breaking.
Yeah, breaking stuff for the win.
And you know what? I'm going to buy his forgiveness by telling him. I name my mini pets, the ones that I really love in Guild Wars. They all have names. And my mini char is named Fuzzmaster Joe.
Oh, so, was it after him?
Not necessarily. It wasn't like a conscious homage. But I kind of dug the name. And my little mini char is Fuzzy. So, I don't know. He was Fuzzmaster Joe, so.
We could, cool.
Yeah, so there you go. See, I named a mini pet sort of after you. Does that make it okay?
And the mini Grawl are the best.
I love my mini Grawl. His name is Beer.
Beer?
Beer. I don't remember why. There was something going on in Alliance chat that day, and I was like, okay, my mini Grawl is Beer. And at the time, it was hilarious. Everybody laughed, and I wish I could remember why.
Remember when Eye of the North first came out? I think it was Eye of the North, and I had that Grawl mini pet, and it would just be like, her? Her. And it would not only ask itself the question her, but it would also answer the question with another her.
It was
and
just, that was it sounded so pleased. Her! He was so happy. Yeah, I love that. And you know what? I remember now, it was, you went to PAX 07 and 08, because in 08, you brought back my Grawl code.
Oh, okay.
And that was your second year.
Yeah, that so 08 was when they announced Ghosts of Ascalon.
Yes, so you went in 07 and 08. But yeah, cool. Very the Grawl, they're so happy when they think, it's like 1 plus 1. They're so pleased. Okay, so next email, because there's a lot.
Next email, this is from David. He says, I was wondering if you would consider having people who are new to Guild Wars on your show and have them talk about their experiences from playing the game. If you'd like to have that, would it be possible that I talk for a bit? On the day that I'm writing this, I have played the game for 9 days, and this was written 3 days ago. I've wanted to play the game for a long time, and once I got into the game, my mind pretty much exploded due to how amazing the game is. Yeah, actually, that's a really good idea, because I think that it's one of those things where it's not rare to find people who haven't played the game because I'm hearing about it more and more, but it's seriously interesting, I think, you know, to kind of, for those people who have been playing since alpha or beta or launch or whatever, to kind of hear the impressions from someone who just, you know, just started playing. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. Maybe, you know, I'll contact you and see about having you on.
I would actually love that. And I have a certain degree of envy for everyone who's experiencing all this for the first time. I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was so cool.
I could spend a whole podcast talking about that, but I remember that very first, like, hour in the game and how, I mean, I had dial-up back then, and it was really bad connection, and everyone was kind of skipping around. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'd go out in the instance thing, and people would be like, bam, bam, and it was like a slideshow of, but I remember the first person who helped me, and they were like, they invited me to their guild, they helped me out, they kind of showed me the ropes, and it was so amazing to me, and that, you know, that's why I play MMOs still, you know, because of that type of thing.
Yeah, I would love to. So, I would love to talk to someone who's doing all this for the first time again.
Yeah.
And I want to know what campaign he started in too. I mean, did you go all old school and do prophecies?
Save it for the show.
Yes. Well, but he's not going to answer me right now.
No, I know.
Okay, so yeah.
So next email. Hi, Sean and Ruby. See, there, he got the order right.
No, wrong.
First of all, I want to tell you that I absolutely love your podcast. Well, with that said, I want to start off with some things I was wondering about. Like, how would the Char respond to casters since they just overthrew the Shamans? And how are we ever going to be able to reach the Eye of the North? If even the Norn, you know them, the guys who tried to keep us from doing slavers because they wanted to solo Duncan, moved away. Oh, this is... Wait, is this Duncan? No, this isn't Duncan. Oh, what? Never mind. No, there's a guy I used to play with named Duncan.
Oh, okay.
Who's in one of my old guilds. I thought for sure a second that was him. But anyway. So, let's answer that before we go on. I don't know. So anyway. No, but I think it's an interesting question. He's asking how will Char respond to casters, and I wonder, I mean, they haven't said anything about this, so let me say that first, but I wonder if there are going to be more specifics like that, like maybe the Char will act differently around casters. That would be interesting.
It would fit really nicely.
Yeah. And like, maybe kind of the more primitive, I don't know, like if you were another race, also the way that the other ones kind of, like, you know, say you went to the human city and you were a Char, would they respond differently to you, you know, and things like that?
Well, now I'm thinking about stunning a Grawl by, like, pulling a colorful handkerchief out of my sleeve. Say, and then they just stand there and you run on past while they try to figure out what just happened.
That sounds like a Mesmer skill to me right there.
Pulling a handkerchief out of your sleeve?
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, so his email goes on and says, I have quite a few of these questions, and he does. Will we be able to travel to Cantha through their tunnels?
I kind of hope so. Eventually, I want to see Cantha. I want to see Alona. I like those places.
Mm-hmm. Actually, most of the answers to these are pure speculation on our part. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that right now. But
it's okay. We like to speculate.
We like to speculate. And he's got some really good questions. Like this next one, he says, will there be professions only available to NPCs? Of course, they did that in Guild Wars 1. And they actually had the ritualist pretty early on. Although it wasn't the same profession, but they called it a ritualist.
They were necros.
Yeah. So they called them ritualists, but it was, you know, and then later they brought in the ritualist. But, they certainly did that in Guild Wars 1. So who's to say that they won't do it in Guild Wars 2 also?
I bet there's a barkeep.
Yeah.
It would totally make sense.
Yeah. I mean, if you start talking like professions like that, you know, you have, you know, merchants, I guess, you know.
Well, if the guy crafts, what, the Ale of Grinth, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
He crafts that. Grinth's that could ale. Be a profession.
That's true. Very true. Let's see, next question. If not, then aren't the Necromancer and Ranger professions already confirmed? Again, that's very true. That's something we talked about, but yeah. If it is a possibility that these classes were announced, these professions were announced, but they're not going to be player professions. You know, that's always a possibility. I think that's what he's trying to say. So yeah, we need to keep that in mind. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking it reminds me of the artisans in Guild Wars 1.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's something that we can't be, but they can, and it's not fair.
and they taunt us and mock us.
Yes. Okay, his next question. Why would anyone want to wear a hammer when it's just as heavy as a greatsword, only less sharp?
I pictured wearing it like a hat. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Because
maybe they will have better skills on the hammer.
Hammers are awesome. I don't know.
Why are we fighting Zaitan and not Jormag, Primordius, or, oh dear, Kralkatorik? Yeah, Kralkatorik. He says, yeah, I looked them up on the wiki.
I'm just going to say you screwed that up without even knowing.
I would imagine, here's my answer, we'll find out in the books. How's that?
Maybe.
That work?
That works for me. Maybe Zaitan just happened to come back first. The other ones are sleeping in.
That's true.
They hit the giant snooze button from hell.
And also, didn't we speculate on that before, that the fact that maybe they'll have each dragon with like an expansion or something?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That would be very cool.
His next question, how dare you call Second Life a game? It's a great question.
He's got a point.
Next question.
I went to absolve all responsibility of that.
Actually, I think that's all the questions he has. He finishes it up and says, well, these were just some of the things I was wondering about. Also, I would like to make my first character a char caster just to see how the char would react to casters. I will be very sad if there aren't going to be necromancers. Wow. I don't know what word that is, but he says emoticon, emoticon. I think that was translated poorly through my Gmail, actually. Anyway, I was also thinking about a necromancer assassin profession since the death slash shadow link between the two. Also, thank you for making this podcast. Greetings from Holland, Mark. Awesome. That was a cool email because we had a lot of things that we had no idea about and we just made them up.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
we're getting good at it, right?
Yeah, we are. I like the one okay. about, I don't know.
I did that last week too, but we got another email from our good friend Mortifact Necrosis.
Sweet.
Which is just a cool little combination of words to say, I think. Mm-hmm. He says, greetings, it's your favorite neighborhood necromancer, Mortifact Necrosis again. Just a quick question for you and Ruby this time. Lately, I've been thinking about world events and just how much fun they are for me and my friends to participate in. Mm-hmm. In other games, as they really feel like you are personally affecting the world as a whole. Now, I know that Guild Wars 2 is going to have these public, insert synonym for quest here type events, but they are going to have world events as well, right? While I know ArenaNet probably has not yet released this information, I do think that it would add to the game immensely epically, he says, now that the world is much more persistent. These types of mechanics seem to be a lot more possible. What do you guys think? Would world events add to the game, or is it asking too much when you already have your own personalized story to have the world itself be affected by players' actions? Keep up the good work. Yeah. I think that, haven't they said basically that these are not going to be interchangeable? They're not going to mix with each other, right?
Yeah, and I personally kind of like that because that's not everybody's thing. And
yeah.
And more specifically, it's not my thing. And it's cool, but I don't want to be dragged into it involuntarily.
Yeah, I think it's all about giving those options. You know, if you're going to have your own storyline, and that's something you want to focus on, and something you can change, you know, that's where you kind of get that all out of your system. And then the world events will be kind of what you're used to in kind of a normal MMO. You know.
Yeah, but yeah, I like them. In their own little compartment where I can come over here and stay away from them. So
yeah,
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, so I think that that's something they've pretty much confirmed at this point. Mm-hmm. But again, the game isn't launched yet. So, and they've said this many times before that, you know, anything could change between now and launch. So
yeah.
Don't really know.
And you know what? I have to say, this is just kind of funny. When we heard from Mortifact Necrosis before, I was all, oh my gosh, I know that person. He's in the Massively Guild. And the next day I logged in on the Massively account and I looked and said, Mortifact Necrosis has left the guild. well, never mind. So I take that back. Oh. I was like, ow, jeez. Okay. Sorry for saying that.
Ouch.
Yeah, I laughed when I saw that. Okay, never mind.
moving on. this next email is from Mark. And actually, Mark and I emailed back and forth because he was able to give me all of the previous episodes of Guildcast. Yeah. And that's something that I am so excited about. I got, you know, bits and pieces from a lot of people, which I'm very thankful for. But Mark was kind of able to fill in the gaps there. And so I now have every episode. Well, okay, I take that back. I don't have episode 74 because episode 74 was a video only episode. And apparently, I'm not sure if it wasn't on the original feed, or I'm not sure what happened with that. I think that might have been one that I just kind of had on the website. I'm not sure how I remember, or I don't remember how I did that. But so if anyone out there has episode 74, let me know, and I'll get that into the feed. But I'm still working. I'm very close. Actually, by the time you hear this, I will probably be, well, let's just say even closer to getting that old episode feed up to where, you know, people can listen to it. But I have it all. It's all set, and it's just a matter of getting that feed set up. And I'll put that in the old Guildcast feed. So if you want to, you know, check that out and kind of subscribe and get that set up now, you know, then you'll have the actual episodes coming later. And Mark also asked a good question where he's talking about, I'm just going to read this because I think it's kind of funny. He says, forgive me if you've covered this question in one of your podcasts. I've been hesitant to listen since the first episode started down the path of referring to something at the end of the story that I haven't reached yet.
You suck.
Sorry. Since then, I've cautiously listened to only certain sections of the podcast. I realize that Guild Wars 2 is going to have events that are driven by the earlier stories, so I'm just working hard on getting to the end of the game. My question is, with all the excitement around Guild Wars 2, I'm sure it's going to be a great success. Has ArenaNet given any indication around the continued availability of the original Guild Wars servers? I assume that I'm getting close to the end of Prophecies, but I still have Nightfall factions in Eye of the North installed and waiting for me. I'm so anxious to get into them, but I'm nervous that they'll vanish before I get to enjoy them. I figured if anybody knows, it would be the two of you. Thanks for the information you can provide and keep up the good work. Mark, yeah, that's something, actually we mentioned that earlier in this show too, that they have confirmed that they are going to keep the Guild Wars 1 servers still going, but they just haven't said for how long.
But you have time. So, you've got time. Easily, I'm going to go ahead and say easily a year. And ArenaNet, please do not make me sorry I said that.
I wouldn't put it past that either. I mean, look at all the Warren Krita stuff. You know, this is something that it's just showing that they can do this. They can add more stuff to it, and they're willing to. You know, they have a team working on Guild Wars 2 right now, and we know this. And the fact that they're still able to add to Guild Wars 1.
Yeah, that's, you know, huge.
It just shows that they have the manpower to do it. So,
yeah.
It's only good news. Okay, so this next one. Let's see. It says, just a quick note. They have informed, from ArenaNet more or less right after the Elementalist reveal that anyone wanting a pure healer should go to the Savari Water Ellie, as this will provide a lot of healing spells. Where Asura have a giant mech as an elite, Savari have a group heal. Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I mean, I knew about the mech thing, the golem thing. Mm-hmm. But Savari, I didn't know they have a group heal. I guess that's part of a racial skill.
You know, it is. And that was something that I had mentioned last week or the week before, that Savari had.
I don't listen to what you say.
You shut up. I like how I have that whole thing where I tell Sean to shut up. It's just ready to deploy at all times. Savari have that thing where they kind of commune with nature and. They can call on that. They can call on that for something a little bit bigger and better. And since Ellie is absolutely the first class I'll play, I guess I'll be stuck healing people if I play a Silvari.
I'm certainly going to play a Silvari. But that's interesting about the water Ellie thing too. So there you go. Mm. You want to be a monk? That's your closest.
If you want to be a monk, be an Ellie.
And his email continues, says, "And no, I don't remember which interview, but I can probably find it if needed, as we discussed it in the guild. Mostly because the others tormented me for it, as I had planned a Silvari Ellie as my first anyway, but I hate being a healer."
This email sounds like it came from me.
"With regards, Felidin." He says, "All my alts, male and female, have Felidin as their first name."
Cool.
Cool. Very cool. All right, so this next email is, let's see, we have a couple left here. This is regarding Guild Wars 2, and this is from Aaron. And he says, "Hi, Sean Ruby. In the last episode, you pronounced my name wrong. It's pronounced Aaron. It's fine. Many people pronounce it wrong, so don't feel bad. Here are a few of my ideas about Guild Wars 2. Specific racial abilities. Will each race have their own special racial ability? For example, human has an intelligence boost and Char has a strength boost, or maybe it could be something very different, like Silvari calling plants, trees, etc., to fight on their side." Let's answer that one first. They have definitely confirmed that there will be racial, things specific to racial abilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know, I think he's saying abilities. I think he's kind of talking about it like traits, I think. And they have confirmed the skill part of it. Like, there will be racial skills. But as far as traits, have they confirmed anything like that?
They haven't confirmed anything specifically. The problem with that goes back to us speculating about something that we don't really... It's like speculating about the world that we don't understand. We're not entirely sure how skills, traits, and abilities are all going to fit together. So it makes it a little harder to answer. But things as specific as we're getting with the different races, I think the best answer to your question is that everything, every facet of this is going to be tweaked toward the race that you are. But we don't know specifics and we don't exactly know how yet.
I feel like I work for ArenaNet. I just have to keep saying we don't know yet.
We don't know. Or we don't know.
We can't announce that yet.
I know. I can't. There's like a catchphrase, and I can't. We're not prepared to answer something. I got to look that up.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So second question: reserving names for characters and guilds. How or when do we get to reserve names for characters or guilds? And will there be any titles, or will the titles be transferable? Again, that's something we don't know.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine reserving names for characters or guilds will be in beta. Traditionally, the way they've been doing open betas recently is they've been treating it as kind of like a soft launch. You know, a lot of games, they'll restart everything at the end of closed beta, and then when open beta starts, it's like, okay, we're not going to wipe characters at the end of this, so anything you have now will stay into launch. But that's going off of other games that are launching now, and I have no idea if that's going to apply to Guild Wars 2. So
again, we don't know. We are not prepared to answer that at this point.
You're good at that.
Thank you.
Number three, does map travel affect in-game time? If you travel from one side of the map to the other, will it still be the same time of day, or will they take out map travel altogether and just have Asura gates and use mounts in the far future, maybe flying mounts? That's a good question.
While flying mounts would be awesome, I think we do know at this point that we're going to have Asura gates. I am guessing, again, we don't know for sure. This just needs to be a constant disclaimer. We don't know for sure. But I don't think it's going to affect time. But I think the method of travel will explain that. I think they won't just ignore it. Oh, just pretend that it's 6 hours later.
Yeah.
I think technology like the Asura Gate will allow us to travel instantaneously in character.
And it also depends on how time of day and weather and all that stuff will be calculated. In some games, you know, a day is like 20 minutes. I think Lotra is like that, where, you know, you can go through the cycle of day and night in about 20 minutes. So if you're traveling, I mean, will that depend on how long it'll actually take in game, or how long it's actually taken for you to load load the next zone in on your computer. But also you have to think about the fact that is time of day going to be a worldwide thing for everyone? Fallen Earth is like that. You know, if it's raining in one part of the map, it's going to be raining on another part of the map because it's all persistent. You know, it's same with
right.
Time
it's
of day.
Just you that has a tiny rain cloud hanging over your head.
Yeah, and that's the same for the time of day too. You know, if it's daytime in Sector 3, it's daytime in Sector 1. So if they do it like that, then of course you can't have it nighttime for you and, you know, mm-hmm. just because you traveled through a certain gate. So that all depends on that. So again, we don't really know.
Yeah, it's persistent. Can you imagine the sun going down every time someone map travels?
Yeah, that would,
that would not work well.
Okay, so his next question here, he says about achievements. When ArenaNet announced these, I started to think that it would be like the achievement system in, and he puts in parentheses, yes, I know I'm mentioning again World of Warcraft. As neither of you play the game, achievements are basically these things that were introduced in the newest expansion that you have to get. And then once you get them, you have to link them in the chat in order to get into groups to do the high-level instances. It's one of the most annoying things in World of Warcraft. It's also one of the biggest reasons why people don't play it. I hope you don't have to do the same in Guild Wars 2 in order to get into high-level groups. I like to think sometimes of Guild Wars as the anti-World of Warcraft. You know, the founders came from Blizzard. They wanted to make something that was kind of the opposite of World of Warcraft. So, yeah, so I think that it's pretty safe to say they're not going to be copying unpopular mechanics like that from, there I go, I said mechanics, game mechanics.
You only said it once, you're all good.
Okay. Copying unpopular game mechanics like that from World of Warcraft. I think that would be silly.
Well, and the whole thing, again, we're getting back to the premise of Guild Wars is that it doesn't cater to the casual player, but it certainly doesn't shut them out. It's an easy threshold to entry. Yeah. And that would take away from that. And that would be taking away from something that's great about Guild Wars. I cannot see them doing that.
Mm-hmm. I really hope that the achievements are kind of like, well, I guess a lot of games have done it now. You know, the Tome of Knowledge in Warhammer, LOTRO has achievements. They work really well. Again, Fallen Earth, you know, they had this new achievement system where this little thing pops up on your screen when you reach the achievement, and it's kind of all bright and flashy and a little sound bite plays, and it's like, it's so simple, but it's so exciting when it happens, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, whoo, achievement!
Yeah, you
know?
No, that's pretty cool.
And then, and you have to tell everyone in your group, hey, come over here, if you stand in this one spot right here, you get an explorer achievement, so everybody runs over and they're out, you know, oh yeah. And it's, I think that rewarding people even with those little bells and whistles like that is the reason we do achievements, you know, and racking them up in a list like the Tome of Knowledge, you know, a list of achievements, you want to get through all of that list. And if you're OCD like me, you know, you have to get them in order. So.
Well, and you know, that makes me think of the global announcements that we get in Guild Wars now when somebody maxes a title. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I would like to see is a true global announcement for achievements instead of having to, like now, if somebody's about to max a title in our alliance, everybody's like, hey, everybody go to Lion's Arch or everybody go to the Great Temple of Balthazar so you can see the global announcement because it doesn't show up anywhere, everywhere. So I'd love to see that as a truly global announcement.
Yeah.
Because again, it's the bells and whistles. I mean, that's fun. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They should just rename achievements to, bells and whistles.
I think so.
There you go.
It should be a title. I get the bell and whistle title.
Okay, so his last question here, he says, about gathering and crafting, will you be able to gather materials and craft them that can be, or craft items that can be a benefit to yourself or to sell to other players on the marketplace? I think that that's something they have confirmed, right?
Yeah, we can, and they have confirmed that you can gather and craft and all that and that it'll be useful. What they have confirmed that I like even better is that you do not have to craft the same sword 784 times to advance. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. That does get a little tedious. And it's good that they recognize that. And they recognize that we want to have fun with crafting, and crafting can be fun. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I tell people how I like crafting in like LOTRO or something, and they're like, ugh, how can you like that? You know, I don't know. I like it.
I love it. That's something that Fallen Earth and LOTRO both, those are my favorite aspects of the games.
I really love even grindy crafting, you know, like EverQuest 2. There are some other games. Worm Online is one. I was actually telling you about this earlier. Worm Online is this free-to-play game where you have to build everything. You have to build the tools by hand in order to build your, you know, pieces of your house in order to build your house. I mean, it's just this big, long thing. And it's really kind of cool, except I don't have, you know, 9 million years to sit there and do this. But I love that stuff. I love the kind of from scratch building, you know.
Andy, I didn't say that when you told me this morning, but you know that made me want to go try it. I was like, man, you have to get the nails and craft the boards. I kind of want to try this.
You have to actually, like, if you want, okay, so you find a tree, you cut down the tree, it falls, then you have a giant tree laying on the ground and you have to cut it up into logs. Mm-hmm. Then you get the logs and you have to cut them with a saw to make boards or a hammer. Handle, you know, and so it just keeps going down and down like that. It's like a food chain of crafting.
I totally want to do that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So welcome to Worm Online Podcast.
No, man, that sounds kind of nifty. I want to give that a shot. So next email.
All right. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he just finishes it up and he says, sorry, it's a long email. Great job on the podcasting. You guys are great. Keep them coming. Aaron.
Aw, thank you.
I said it right. Hey, Ron. All right, we have a couple more here. This one is a really short one. This is from the Emerald Emperor. He says, hey, I wanted to pitch an idea for a cool new class. Since none have been revealed, here's my idea. It will probably not be put in, but what about a bard? Hey, I like this idea, actually. He can buff like a paragon and hold his own on the front lines. Hope you think it's cool, the Emerald Emperor. I think that's a really good idea. I would actually... they have bards, and a lot of D&D based games, you know, DDO and, the Minstrel and Lotro. I'm playing Dragon Age right now and there's a rogue class that you can actually kind of specialize in a bard. And I really like that kind of thing. You know, I think Lotro does it really well with the songs and everything. And he's exactly right. You know, you can buff like the Paragon where they have the shouts and songs. I mean, they literally call them songs, but more of kind of a traditional bard that you might think of, you know, carrying a lute around.
Actually be pretty cool. Justin Olivetti I play DDO with him on Massively, and he plays a bard, we all gather around, he buffs us up, and it's a pretty cool class.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. We had an email earlier, someone said that the Paragon is crappy, but I really like the Paragon. I think maybe I'm looking past the things that are kind of not so great about it, because of that fact that I like the buffing class. You know, I like a group buffer. I like the one who can do songs, stuff like that. And, you know, I've always loved the minstrel in Lotro. So yeah, if they keep that mechanic, again, the word mechanic, if they keep that in there, but they don't actually call it a paragon, a bard is definitely a possibility.
That would be kind of neat. And now I'm wanting to re-roll a paragon. I had a paragon and I deleted her, but... Well, it was a long story, but she was a survivor and she died and I was really attached to her and didn't have the heart to play her anymore. But I would really kind of like to re-roll a paragon now just to see, was this as good as I remember? Because I was all stressing out about not getting her killed.
Yeah, I enjoyed my paragon. Not as much as other classes, but I really enjoyed it.
She was naked, wasn't she? I knew it.
All righty.
So,
we have this one last email here, and this is from Dancer. And Dancer says, hello, Ruby and Sean. I'm a guy from Europe, and I enjoy listening to old and new Guildcasts. Keep up the good work. It's nice you can download the podcast as MP3 and don't have to listen to it live or completely miss it. That is the beauty of podcasts. I love it. I have some questions about Guild Wars 2. Now, these are a lot of questions, so we won't go through each one individually. Will Guild Wars 2 have a title, like the first Guild Wars 1 campaign later got the title Prophecies? Again, not announced yet. Will there be voice communication implemented in Guild Wars 2 directly? Not announced yet.
That would be fantastic, though.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I was thinking? With a lot of these questions we get from our readers, our listeners, we should... compile them and send them off. Now I know from experience that none of them will get answered.
But it
couldn't hurt to try, and it could be one of those things where, you know, they were waiting to tell us about that, which has happened before.
At the very least, I could figure out that catchphrase that I'm trying to remember.
You'd see it repeated many times.
Yes.
Right? And I, you know, actually, a lot of these questions that Dancer asks here seem like they would be kind of, it seems like a collection of questions that they pretty much know we won't be able to answer, but you know, it'd be nice to know.
I'll do that this weekend and we can send it off Monday. How's that?
Yeah.
This is Friday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that this weekend. I've saved all these emails and you can forward stuff to me that I didn't get.
That sounds like a good idea. Three more of the questions they had. Will there be a buyback function, like what you sell at the merchant, you can buy back for the same price you sold for no loss? The function resets when you log off. That's something that Guild Wars 1 does not have, and pretty much this isn't Dancer writing this. This is me saying this, but every other game pretty much has that. You know, so you don't make that mistake of selling your black die for 1 gold at the merchant.
Or at the very least, have the ability to lock items, so you don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Another question, how soon after Guild Wars 2 release should there be an expansion? In other words, how soon does the game need huge content update? I would say, personal preference, a year. Because I think traditionally, most games have about a 1 year expansion, and it works out well because it takes, you know, the kind of hardcore players get through it in 2 days, and then, you know, the rest of the community basically takes, you know, takes their time and gets through it the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really a kind of a sweet spot for expansions. And then the last question says, I don't know the name of the function, but will you be able to easily add items or quest info in chat as a link? That's something that isn't available in Guild Wars. It's some, you know, in a lot of games you can kind of drag the item into chat and it'll link it automatically, mm-hmm. so people can see what you're talking about. Like when you say, I have this item, check it out, you know. There are ways around it, though.
Yeah, but in Guild Wars, you have to, like, actually, the best you can do is paste a link into your skill bar and then stick that in chat, and you can only do that in certain places, and it's a big, hairy deal. And
yeah. I think that's something they added later, too, so I think that there are restrictions to the engine that probably prevent that, mm-hmm. but the fact that they added even a slight workaround later shows that they realize the importance of it.
So. Right.
And he says he also has some comments. He says, I want to add another reason why we can't play Monk in Guild Wars 2. In dynamic events, you don't have to be in a party to take advantage of used skills from other players and all get the same reward. I think most PvE Monk players are used to only watching the health bars in party. If they have to click the players in the environment to heal them, it will be too advanced for the casual PvE Monk. And his second comment says, Logan Thackeray is descended from Lieutenant Kieran Thackeray and Gwen. If you want to trace Logan back to Kieran, does it mean you have to only do it on the father's side to keep the last name Thackeray all the way back? It's a bit unlikely considering they are 250 years apart. Even I know that it's a fantasy game. That's a good point, because that is one of those things where, you know, that's many, many generations in 250 years. I still think that it's, you know, it's Kieran and Gwen. I still think that it's there, even remotely.
Well, they've actually confirmed that Kieran and Gwen are going to go to Ebb and Hook Up, but they are destined to marry, and that they are Kieran's ancestors. But he's right, that is some serious attention to bloodlines, keeping that same name for 250 years.
But it's possible.
Yeah, it could happen.
Right?
It obviously did.
I mean, the name Schuster, I don't know who thought of that, but man.
I don't know. Now I need to know. Was that your family name 250 years ago?
No, I just changed it myself.
Last week, because it was easier, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's new.
It rolls off the tongue, Sean Schuster.
It kind of
does. I never ever got made fun of that, so I figured, oh wait.
Yeah, I think. Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually, that was the last of the emails we had this time, but.
I have a question for Dancer, and maybe he can email back. I know somebody in Guild Wars named Dancer from Europe, and I want to know if it's the same person. So if you're Dancer in Guild Wars, I need to know.
There you go.
Yeah, I know that was all very, very exciting and of interest to everybody, but I need to know this. It's important.
Well, certainly everyone keep the emails coming in because we love reading them. Even though, you know, 90% of the time we have to say we don't know yet or we don't, you know, that hasn't been announced yet, we still like to get it out there because it kind of spawns some good conversation in the comments, you know, where people can start talking about, even most of the time when we say we don't know, or, you know, some of the times we say we don't know, it actually is out there. You know, the information is actually out there, and somebody will be like, hey, actually, this is what happened. So we read them on the air because we want to get that kind of conversation going with the rest of the reader or listener. So so I think it's important. So definitely keep those emails coming in, and also check out the other resources we have available, like the Twitter feed where we announce, you know, when there's a new episode each week. Our Facebook page, we have our main page, guildcast.wordpress.com. I will have the old Guildcast episodes up very soon so that you can listen to how horrible they are, because I did that just
this
weekend.
They were awesome.
and definitely keep those the audio intros coming in. We got two this time, and I want to get a lot more. A couple people said they're sending some in. So I would love to have kind of a backlog of them ready to play each episode and just, you know, have everyone do an intro, because I think that's it's always been pretty popular, and people love to hear themselves on podcasts, right? So,
well, I think so. And, you know, the other thing too about the emails, even though we're saying we don't know, those answers are coming. And
yeah,
it's going to be
yeah.
great when we can get those answers and say, hey, remember that one time when so-and-so asked about this? Now we can tell you.
Yeah.
I love that.
There you go. Okay, so that is going to wrap it up for this week. So until next week, I'm Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.